What is up, you guys? Special episode today. We have our first guest ever with us. Ashley, do you want to give Tatiana a little bit of an introduction?
Yeah, so Tatiana was, so the summer I met Dallin, we were working at this youth camp, right, as counselors. Tatiana was my roommate the first week. And then I think the next week she worked with Dallin.
It was like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I used to look over and see them together with their group of kids and think how cute Dallin was and be so jealous that Tot was with him. Tatiana is a lawyer. She is a, what kind of
comedy? She is a comedian, an improv comedian. She actually gets paid real dollars to get on the stage and be funny.
She's not funny. Yet. I'm almost there.
She does the headline Saturday night like shows at Comedy Sports in Provo. She's an improv comedian.
There have been many.
We've been to her shows. It's so fun.
Many a first date in the audience while you're performing.
Oh, that's fun. Yes, that's true.
Do you feel the pressure?
Oh man, yeah. You hyping me up now. I love these guys, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
So her official title tonight is our best friend. She's actually sleeping over tonight.
Slumber party.
Also, we're practicing because we are planning on having more guests on the podcast. So the first one is our friend Tot.
Yeah, why not invite the most unqualified person to come?
And whatever.
You know, it makes sense.
Oh. I wanted to say one more thing about Tatiana. Her first name is not Tatiana. Her first name is Elise.
So exposed.
And when you went to college, right?
No, third grade.
You changed your name in third grade.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone hounds us for our daughter's name, James. And I always tell them if she doesn't...
Not everyone, just a few people.
A lot of people.
How dare
and,
they?
And I tell them if she doesn't like her name, she can be just like my friend Tatiana. When Tatiana was in third grade, she just decided she wanted to go by her middle name. And James has two middle names, so she can totally do that.
Oh my goodness, I am the example.
Yeah.
I'm the shining star of
what
hope.
What made you change your name? Or go by your middle name?
Well, my parents won't like to hear this, but they know it already. At the time, I just felt like I wasn't an Elise. I felt like I wanted my name to be Christy. That was my favorite name at the time.
Yeah.
And so then I was like toying around with that idea. And then I was like talking like I was really serious. I was like, Mom and Dad, I want to change my name to Christy. And they're like, oh, you're serious? No, you can't do that. It takes paperwork. And no. And then I found out that people go by their middle names all the time. And you don't have to deal with paperwork or anything. And so I went into the bathroom one day and I looked in the mirror and I was like, yeah, I look more like a T name than an E name. And I marched out to the backyard and announced to my family and to the neighbors across the fence, I'm going by Tatiana. And they were like, okay. And then that year, my third grade year, only my best friend and my school teacher respected my wishes. And then a year later, we moved to California and my parents had to eventually conform.
Cool. Well, that's good. James can do that too if she wants to.
See, it can happen.
Josephine is her first name and then Brighton is her middle name.
She can choose either Josephine or Brighton.
Yeah. So anyways.
Side story. I always wanted to be named Amanda.
Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you change?
Well, I don't anymore. Like, I'm fine.
Okay.
But
came to peace.
I felt like all the pretty girls were named Amanda when I was in elementary school. What did you want to be named?
Dallin.
You never had any.
Wait, Dallin, remember that one time, though, that you lied about your name in a really, really good setting? It's like a good story is what I mean to say. At a university library, and you were like,
we've told that story on Big Little Life podcast we got kicked out of the BYU library.
Did we tell the part where?
Oh, we told it. No, that was on Ellie and Jared's podcast.
Oh, yeah. But it was very brief. So, Dallin and I and Tatiana were filming this, like, what was it? Like, secret dance?
It was like we all had headphones in. We were all listening to some random dance song. It was at Christmas time, though, so we had to wear ugly Christmas sweaters. We go into the library when people are studying for finals, and we just, like, all are dancing. But there's no music going on to the, you know, poor students' point of view. They just see a bunch of people dancing with headphones in. And it was really fun. But the second year we did that, the security guard didn't like it very much. And so then she tried to make Dallin turn in the like the SD card or whatever for the camera. And then Dallin was so good. He slipped it out when she wasn't looking and he put it in his pocket. And then when she was like, okay, Show me your camera.
Biggest sin I've ever done.
It was like my smallest sin.
She was like, show me your camera. And he is pressing all these buttons. He's like, I'm trying to figure, wait, did I forget to put in a memory card or an SD card or whatever?
Yeah.
And Ashley was playing along. And Ashley was, well, at this point they had said different names, like down, you were, it was something similar.
So like
it was
my
like
secret
Darren.
Skill is lying.
Ashley's creepily
and
good
I
at
don't
it.
Get to use it very often. And I was like in my element.
Oh,
she
yeah.
asked me how to spell. She asked us our name, and I was like, "Oh, my name's Kaylee, McKaylee." And she asked me how to spell it, and I said, "I did like a crazy millennial way of spelling it. I was like M A C K A Y L E I A Y E I G H."
Yes,
she's like, "Wow!"
I said it so straight faced. She wrote the whole thing down, and then it was like in Cops, like when you watch Cops and they ask the criminal or who they're pulling over for their social security. And they're like, oh, I don't know that. I don't remember that at all. I totally did that too.
She asked for our social
security. She asked
security
for a lot of things. And I was like, I don't remember.
For dancing that. In the library.
I made up an email. It was like McKaylee, like my 11 letter name at gmail.com.
Oh my goodness.
And she was like, yeah, I bet no one else has a spelling like that. And I was like, nope.
I forgot mine. I had a University of Utah shirt on. And so she was like, already hated me because it was BYU. And so... Shoot, what do you remember what I
they,
said my
they
name
had
was?
The they were calling the police, like they had them on the phone.
Yeah, they were.
But
and
they
we kept
were
saying
like, they didn't want to get out of bed, so they were just like, just have them delete the footage and just send them out.
Yeah. And we kept saying, especially Ashley, we kept saying, we were just trying to spread Christmas cheer. No, my sister Marissa kept saying that especially. Oh, it was
Marissa
so funny.
Marissa was so impressed with our lying, though.
Yes. Well, yours, okay. Ashley also said a last name that was not hers, like Smith or something. Like
Yankowitz or something.
and Dallin, your lie was like, I'm Darren Seeley. It's like so
Darren with a Y.
Or yeah. Daniel or something. And then I was like in law school and I was like trying to pull.
Yeah, you were the only one who went so to funny. School there.
Yeah. No, there were a few others in the group that did too. But I was like all trying to talk our way out of it. It was so funny. But in the end of the day, Dallin saved the day by showing her the camera and being like, oh no, I forgot the card.
I didn't
Ash
even know
like,
that was going to happen.
Ashley was like, Darren, oh, you're such an idiot. And then she believed it. And we were like, okay, well,
she got
I guess.
This little smirk on her face.
No
like,
harm.
Yeah, she was so.
Karma.
Yeah. Idiot. And then we left. And then we like had to make sure, we were like dying, but we had to make sure to like not throw a scene yet because there's those glass windows or glass walls or whatever. And we get out of the way enough and we were like, just rejoicing, so happy that,
was
that
so
we
so funny and the video is on YouTube still today to
oh
this
no this podcast is gonna get to like that particular BYU security guard and she's gonna call them and tell them and,
it's all
and
gonna
report
back
it to
YouTube.
We're all graduated.
There's
I know I just
do.
I no one can fire Dallin and I so
yeah
it's a really good video though like
what's it called?
You guys filmed it yeah what do you have to search just search like maybe BYU or maybe just headphones college Christmas sweaters dancing. Possibly
wait,
search
what
dubstep.
Did you tag it as?
Probably all of those things.
Headphone college just... Christmas sweaters dancing. Yeah, just search that and it should come up.
BYU.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Maybe leave out BYU. I think we were being pretty cryptic.
Okay, you guys, we just paused and came back and searched that. And it
and
is
they
under
are still there.
Kaylee Smith on YouTube.
Don't
one
search
video.
Kaylee Smith because you, I mean, down.
K-A-Y-H-I-E. How did you even spell
G-H-E.
This? K-A-Y-H-L-E-I-G-E.
Oh, yeah.
I think when I actually
if there's
told
actually
her
a
that.
Kaylee out there, we'll spell that way. We're sorry we're laughing at your name, but I really don't know if there is one.
Okay, Kaylee Smith. And so we did it 2 years. So the first year we did it, Dallin and I are in it more. And I just looked up BYU Dancing Christmas Library.
I'm like hesitant to share this because
the first year.
This is like
illegal.
And it's just like this sacred library that we're sacrileging all up and down on the tables.
It's fine. And then the second one is dancing with iPod in public.
Yeah.
college library Christmas sweater style.
That's the one that's by Kaylee.
Dallin and Ashley, our first
and that
year
was
of
our
marriage.
First year of marriage.
Just dancing up the library.
Please also, keep it on the DL.
Yeah,
please don't share this.
Don't subscribe. She currently has three subscribers. Let's keep it that way.
And only one video. But this video does have 2,800 views, so some people have found this somewhere and shared it.
I am not in control of her YouTube either.
No, you're not. I think it's me.
Kaylee.
Oh, no, I just set myself. What are the comments saying? Anything?
There is one comment. This video gives me life every time I watch it.
Oh, that's so
from
sweet.
From Kanani Scurry one
See,
year ago.
We were spreading Christmas cheer.
We were.
Okay, we did this video like 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So we don't even know her.
Nope.
What about the first video? Are there any comments on the first one?
Oh, let's see.
Let's go back to the first year. This is before Ashley and I were married. This is even before we were dating.
Dallin and I are suckers for comments. Oh, I think I have it pulled up. 700. Okay, so this one has less views. And this is on Dallin's personal
It's on my personal
channel.
YouTube that I created like in high school.
And it has zero comments.
Dang it. No comments. Well, year two, we got one comment from Kanani Scurry. Thank you, Kanani, and glad this video could give you life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dallin and I like to do this thing. Actually, we've never really done this thing, but we want to start doing this thing when we have guests, and we've talked about it a lot, where we present each of us separately.
Oh, Tatiana, we do this thing where we do news stories on our podcast. Do you listen to our podcast at all?
Yeah.
So every once in a while, yeah, so you know you've heard news stories. So
oh, wait, is the news stories part only on the Talking Heads, no, Taking Sides one?
No, so this is Big Little Life.
Oh, you talk about news there?
Yes, and so every once in a while, Ashley and I just share
that
a positive...
obviously doesn't.
No, I do. I just either don't remember the news or I skip over it because I'm not a news junkie. Confession time.
No, we don't
time.
Do just like politics or like humdrum news. We only find inspirational/funny news stories.
Oh, yeah, I'm remembering now. Okay, I'm remembering good. The funny
okay,
ones.
So Dallin and I are both going to present to you our news story and you will decide who has the more either funny, uplifting, just whatever brings you
Mine
more joy.
Mine is going to be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah,
I don't
Dallin's
know.
Gonna be, if Dallin was the judge, which he is not, I would probably win.
If I was the judge, you would win?
No, yeah.
Is yours really good?
Yeah, it is for Uh-oh. You. You're going to like it.
Wow. Okay, well, Tatiana's going to be the judge this time. And mine is actually audio.
Oh, wait, and there's one more rule that... So this actually goes along with our friendship, our trifecta friendship. Whenever anyone in this group says a joke, it's mandatory to laugh uproariously.
Yes, that was a rule.
Let's do an example. Tot, tell us a joke or a pun.
Oh, okay. Well, I know a good joke. What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? Wait. I didn't tell you the answer yet, but I appreciate it.
Like right straight into the mic right there. Yeah.
The
you
answer
tilt it up
is
a little bit if you want.
Yeah,
and then
wait.
Start over.
Okay. Okay, my
for
joke.
For the answer.
Oh, my answer.
Okay, what's the answer? We're already laughing.
Okay, the answer is a nervous wreck.
A nervous wreck.
Thank you.
I understand. And I get it. It's
obviously,
funny.
I'm better at this game than Dallin.
I'm working on it.
That
okay,
was like a
so
pity laugh.
We'll go. Mine is first, and mine.
Well,
is...
Well, wait. I like the rule is that Tatiana and I, when you're telling your new story, have to be very encouraging.
Yes.
Good.
And okay.
Put off the vibes that we think yours is the best.
Okay. Well, mine already is. I know it because it's gone viral. Ellen shared it. It's on every news station, and it's just such a cute, good,
Stop.
Wonderful video.
Show it
ready?
Already.
I'm
you
so
have video of
ready.
It?
Yeah.
You are amazing.
All right. A New York City mom taught her son a positive affirmation on his second birthday in the hopes that one day he could memorize it. Well, 1 year later, she was shocked when he started repeating it on
this?
The way to school.
Have you seen this, Todd?
I am smart. I am blessed. I can do anything.
It's a boy walking to school.
I am smart.
Okay. Are we on the mountaintop right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
That's
we
a good
are
one.
On the floor.
He's just walking. It's this little 2-year-old boy, four-year-old boy, just walking to his first day of school. And he's saying, I am smart.
Three.
I am blessed. I can do anything.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that great?
Oh my gosh. I love
just
that so
on his
much.
Way to school, just psyching himself up.
Jeez. Giving me all the feels.
Seriously.
Yeah, what a good kid.
Oh,
so My news story is on the computer in my lap, but my computer just died.
Oh.
So.
Rookie mistake. Already getting points here.
You are not good at this game, Talon. You're supposed to be encouraging.
I'm sorry.
We're so excited to find it. I'm so sorry that
happened to you. How can I fix it?
Yeah, we're going
to
fix this.
Can I look it up on
this
computer? Because this one's connected to the recorder anyways.
Well, it's not a video. Okay, so my news article does not have media. It's just going to be the spoken word.
I am open to that. I'm excited for it. And I want you to know that I support it, whatever it is.
Thank you. Listen to this. World's largest avocado grown by family in Hawaii.
No
That's
way.
Right. You heard it right here. The world's largest avocado has been recorded.
Wow.
Here we go.
Congratulations, Hawaiians.
So
you've done it.
This story has a twist at the end.
Oh.
And I want you to stay ready
like literally,
for it.
Literally? Like, did they twist it and make guacamole?
No.
But I'm...
No. It's a sad twist.
No.
So it's going to be a heart wrencher.
Don't do this to me.
I
Not
hate
super
sad stories.
Sad, but just a little sad.
Okay.
Where you just feel for the other party.
Oh, no.
What was it?
Okay, let me start. At 5.6 pounds, an avocado grown in Maui has earned the Guinness World Record for the world's heaviest avocado.
Wow.
I can say that again.
Listen to this. The avocado was produced by a tree in the yard of the Pokini family, who planted the seed for the tree 10 years ago when their son was born.
Wow.
Oh,
the tree is now over 20 feet tall, and the family admits that they don't fertilize the tree, but simply leave it alone to grow. There's a lesson there.
What have we been doing fertilizing avocado trees?
There is a lesson there.
Okay.
The Guinness verification process required input from a certified horticulturalist. You just say horticulturalist.
Horticulturalist.
Witness testimonials and documentation using state certified scale and photos and video of the process.
Oh, get over yourself, Guinness. It's obviously the biggest one.
Listen to
not
this.
Joking around.
Last year, they did the same thing because this tree produces giant avocados.
Yeah.
Last year, the family was prepared for this process after making a prior attempt from the avocado they grew last year.
Uh-huh.
Which was bigger, but it rotted before everyone could get there.
No, aww. So it's Guinness's fault.
Yeah. Look, scroll down. Oh, look at him.
Look at
that
all
looks like a watermelon.
From one avocado.
It's enormous.
That thing is like literally looks like a small watermelon.
Okay, scroll. Oh,
that's amazing.
The other article that I found before the computer died.
Yeah.
They had a 6-pound one last year.
Wow.
Okay,
Todd, whose was better?
Okay, well, there's several points that go to different parties here. Ashley gets really good points for the delivery of her story.
Yeah.
Because, man, I was just so invested, and you just really caught our attention and made it really good.
I drew that one out.
She did.
Yeah. Harder than you probably thought I would.
It was only like four sentences, the article.
Wait, what was the sad part? Oh, just that they didn't
that
get
the
it
last
in time.
One rotted, and it was bigger.
The record could have been, the bar could have been set higher.
Mm-hmm. But I'd have to say that video of that kid from Dallin, yeah, that's the winner.
I win.
It made me so happy.
All right. Well.
But Ashley.
Ash, I would have voted for you.
Well, thanks.
Let me just vote you.
She's gutted.
And you vote for Tot. It would be a three-way.
Why would I vote for Tot? She didn't present an article.
I don't know any news articles.
Okay. Our next segment of this podcast is a good one. Remember weeks back, months back maybe, when I talked about my recurring dream of losing my teeth, all of my teeth will fall out.
Yes.
Multiple times in the night.
That's so weird.
I'll lose my teeth and then I'll fake wake up and think everything's okay. And then another tooth will fall out, followed by the rest of my teeth throughout the course of the dream. So I lose my teeth. And then it's like a stress dream where it means you're just overly stressed, which I'm beginning to recognize in my life. And I'm trying to work on that.
She is. Yesterday we had a good conversation about this. So naturally, I would want to like get to know Tatiana first and ask her about her life and what's going on and things, and then dive into dreams. But are we going to swap it around and just get to the nitty gritty of Tatiana's inner psyche before we ask about her?
What better way
Expose
to get to know
me.
Her
than to talk about her dreams?
Than to talk about her dreams. Kate, all I did last time was Google dream interpretation.
Okay.
And I found a really good one. It was like a dream dictionary where you could click on words that are prominent in your dream, and it will give you some information.
Okay.
Oh, that one.
This one?
Scroll down.
Okay.
Scroll down. Dream Dictionary. Do that one.
Dream Dictionary. Meanings of dreams.
Oh, yeah. This is the one. Okay. So we'll just figure out a word that has that is like a culmination of what your dream is.
Okay.
And then we'll look up that word and it will tell us, as Professor Trelawney would, the interpretation of that dream.
Wow.
Okay. So
that's the Emma Thompson one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I like her as an actress, so I trust this.
Okay. Okay. So you know it's good.
Okay, Todd, you can either share with us the dream you dreamed last night or the last dream you remember or a recurring dream.
Yeah, so I don't have a good memory, so the first two you mentioned are out because I can't remember. But okay, when you said your teeth fall out, that's like that's crazy to me. I've never ever had that dream before.
It's a terrible dream.
But it reminded me of when I have stress dreams. This is what it is for me. It is, and I feel like this probably happens to a lot of people. It's not that exciting. It's just like I'm running from danger. Like
oh, we read about this.
Oh, you read about, yeah, uh-huh. Like someone is chasing me, someone wants to kill me or something, and I'm running, or I'm trying to run, and I can't run.
Ooh, I have the trying to scream, but I can't scream.
That has happened to me before, too.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And then I wake up screaming because I'm trying to scream so hard.
Oh, man.
Okay, the meaning behind running dreams. To dream of running in company with others is a sign that you will participate in some festivity. Well, running?
You were alone, so keep. No, if you run from danger, if you run from danger, you will be threatened with losses, and you will despair of adjusting matters agreeably.
What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
Mm-mm. That's real.
Kate. Let me just search trying to run but in can't. Dreams, but can't. Let's see here.
Why can't
I run fast in my dreams?
I just can't run at all. Actually, no, it is fast too. Sometimes I'm running.
This is from the Reddit Explain It Like I'm Five.
Perfect. Subreddit Explain It Like I'm Five.
That's how I need everything explained to me.
Okay. It's a very common thing for people to experience in their dreams, says the top response. And we don't really know why. Dreams are not very well understood at all. One possible explanation I've read. By the way, have you read the dreams or have you seen the dreams episode on Netflix? There's a little special about dreams. It's really interesting. There's like psychologists on there talking about dreams and stuff. One possible explanation I've read before, however, is that your sense of how fast you are moving is dependent upon sensory input, which your brain is not receiving. For example, seeing objects moving past
this
your vision.
Is boring.
Okay, so from the Netflix.
This isn't even interpretation.
No, so get this. So from the Netflix, it's like there's only one part of your brain that's working. It's the cognitive part, but all the like the physical moving your body part is still asleep. So your brain like wants to run and thinks it's running, but the part that actually sends signals to your muscles to run isn't. And so there's like, it's like confused. Bottom line, there is either something going on in your life that you want or need to get away from, or there is something or someone that you need to run toward, but you don't have what's needed to do it.
I feel like it's more of the running from,
what are you running from?
I don't know.
What are you running for?
I'm surprised.
These are great questions to ask our guests before we know anything about that.
I know everything about Todd.
I mean,
for the listener, that's what I'm thinking
Todd,
about.
What in your life are you running from?
I don't know. I just want to say, okay. I'm pleasantly surprised that this is not about control. Because, you know, like sometimes I just wonder if it means like, oh, I want to have control, but I can't. You know, I want to be running and I can't, but it's not saying that. So,
well, let's just keep reading, shall we?
Tap, tap on my shoulder.
There's something or someone that you need to run toward, but you don't have what's needed to do it. Maybe you are dealing with an addiction or you are in a bad relationship and you need to run away from the situation. Or perhaps you need to run toward the Lord and are having problems getting your heart right for that run.
Oh, that was a fun Christian spin.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it.
What was the very first one? That one's the one that resonated with me the most.
There is something either going on in your life that you want or need to get away from, or there is something or someone you need to run toward, but you don't have what is needed to do it.
I mean, in those dreams, it feels like it's very much a, I need to get away from something. So I feel like that's probably the one that's closest.
Maybe. What are you running away from in your dreams?
I don't know. You guys. No, yes. I'm just kidding.
Todd, what in your life do you feel Luna. Like you want, but that you can't reach with the facilities and the talents that you have?
I don't know. Yeah.
You maybe, don't have to answer this question.
Maybe that's what it is.
Let's just back it up a little bit. And just ask Todd about, I am curious to know a little bit more about improv because you've been studying improv for quite a while
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you just interrupted it. So. But thank you. You've been studying improv for quite a while now, performing on stage. You started with like level one, you advanced level two, and now you're performing on like the big main show on the weekends at Comedy Sports.
Let me just say,
tell us about like why you wanted to get into it and kind of like what sparked that. First off,
like what you're doing up there is my literal nightmare. Oh. Yeah. I can't think of a worse scenario than being put on a stage without any preparation.
Like, it's one thing to even speak like prepared words. It's another thing to try to come up with things off the top of your head when there's like hundreds of eyeballs staring at you.
With the objective to be funny.
Yeah, that's like top tier like speaking stuff. Right. It's not like nervously reading like a pre-planned paper either. It's like you got to be creative and on your game up there. That's hard stuff.
Yeah, well, I will.
How'd you get into it? Let's start there.
Okay. Remind me to talk about that last question later. Well, okay. I got into it because I, as you guys know, I like to perform once in a while. I like to sing a little ditty. I like to do a little dance.
Todd's dancing with her hands right now for everybody else besides me and Ashley. You can't see her.
Yeah, so sorry. No, you should be very grateful. Anyways, so I've done a cappella groups. I've done musical theater a lot, and I've done some, you know, plays and stuff. And I've done like kind of singer songwriter, dabbled in that a little bit. And I just kind of was feeling like I really like all those things, but not one of them. There wasn't one that was really sticking out to me as like, this is what I meant to do as a performer, whatever. And maybe it is. I don't know. It's for me, performing is a hobby. It's not like my career, even though I did think about making it a career. Like I love it. I love the arts. I love all that stuff. Anywho.
Did you do it in high school?
Oh yeah. In high school, did musical theater and stuff like that.
So then like in college, how did you continue that?
In college, I did also some plays and some musical theater, but then I did BYU Noteworthy, the acapella group for
I usually hate
ladies,
acapella, but I liked your group.
Yeah. I'm usually not a big acapella fan either. Which is kind of why like now I'm like, oh, I don't really care to be in an acapella group now, but
I felt
in college,
like
that group specific, and that it's so dear to my heart.
They were
that
less
group.
Like boo-boppy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was more like I felt like it was pretty stuff.
More melodic.
When the people are doing the things that it's like hip hop music, I can't pay attention. I just try and look for the sounds. Like I try and find the guy going. Bah, bah, bah. I can't even do it.
Yeah.
Like that
guy. Yeah. Okay. Go on, Todd.
Oh yeah. So anywho, I did. Yeah. Then I was doing, you know, plays and stuff. My outlet, you know, my artistic outlet outside of work and outside of school and stuff, was typically musicals after that. And I came to a point I was in a musical right before I started improv workshops, and I was especially feeling like a little impatient, I guess, that like we do the same thing every day. I was like, you know, backstage listening to the show, and I'm like, I love this show, really do, but I'm a little tired that it kind of is the same every day. And there is definitely principles of improv do apply to musical theater. I'm, you know, learning like there's definitely ways to make it different every night for sure. But I just thought, you know what? I want to try this. I had kind of thought about trying it before, because it really wasn't like I saw an advertisement for it, like, hey, come take the workshop. I had been to Comedy Sports, but it had been like 10 years. Like my old roommate was a house manager there back in the day. And then I have a friend that was like Mr. Voice there and stuff, but it had been so long since I'd gone and seen it. And it had been like 2 or 3 years since I'd seen any improv show, but I just was like brainstorming, like, what is my niche? If that's the way you pronounce it, what's my thing? And so anyways, I saw that there was a workshop coming up at Comedy Sports when I went to their website, and I was like, okay, let's sign up for this. And then sweet. I loved it. Just loved it.
What do they teach? Like the first class, like what's the first thing they teach you about improv?
The very first night is like
what did you connect with?
Well, here's an interesting thing. They ask us they asked us why we all signed up for this, and everyone had very different reasons. And for me and for like one other person too, we were both like, I want to get better at being funny. Like that's one of my goals. And they said, the guy that was leading the workshop said, so something about improv is we can't teach funny. We can't teach comedy. Uh-huh. but we could, like, improv isn't really about that. Like, it is, but that's not what we teach. We can't teach comedic timing and things like that. What we can teach are the improv skills and rules and things like that. And they apply. And there's so many really awesome principles in improv that apply to life that you can really take with you, especially in, like, business settings and work and life and random settings. I'll explain why, but it's kind of been hard to apply it to my profession because the law is such an adversarial system, but there's still ways.
You don't like try to feed off the person that you're trying to like beat.
Yeah. Well, cause probably something else that came up that first day or at least the second week or whatever is the principle of yes. And so that's the biggest thing. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. So in improv, when someone starts off a scene and they give an offer as to, you know, something going on in that scene, the biggest rule is to not deny them. But instead of denying them, instead of denying the idea that they're offering, to say yes. And then the and part of that, the yes and, is that you don't just agree or you don't just accept their offer, but you also add to it. So one of the best examples I can think of was given by Tina Fey. Oh, I don't think I actually even remember it. It was something about an apple. It's like improver one presents something in their hand and it looks like they're offering an apple. And they say, here, take this. Maybe something like that. Improver two doesn't interpret it as an apple. They interpret it as a baseball. And so they say, oh, thanks. I've been meaning to play baseball or practice baseball for some time or whatever. And I... love you, Dad. Okay, this is not the sample.
Keeps it going.
Yeah. So then, and then the next person, even though in your mind, the same person, improver number one, even though in your mind you thought it was an apple, you now have the choice to say, "That's not a baseball. That's an apple," which would be a denial. Or you could say, "Ah, yeah, son, you got this. Let's go out to the backyard," or whatever. That was like kind of a bad example, but it hopefully shows the principle of yes and.
I can totally see that because it's like you're trying to feed off. You got to keep, like, Ashley and I just went to the show a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it's just so fun. And we're just sitting there like, how do they keep coming up with this? But it makes sense. Like, everybody's operating off these same principles that keep the creative juices flowing and don't put put stops to the juices, like put up dams to the flow.
Yeah.
And it sounds like at least this principle is what keeps it flowing. Are the other principles the same way? What are some other principles?
So some people, I'm kind of doing some like research and reading on just different books about improv. And so some people will have different opinions. What was that?
Are there books you would recommend about improv?
Yeah, so far I'm really liking the one I'm reading called, I think it's just called Improvise, and it's by a guy named Mick something, and it has a foreword by Stephen Colbert.
Cool.
Sorry, I don't have all the information. Yeah, actually I have the copy here, so I'll just let you look at it and you'll see what the cover looks like, and then you'll know.
Anyways, go on.
But yeah, so some of the other rules that are most commonly accepted are no questions. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's like you can always rephrase it in a different way to make it so it's not a question. Instead of saying like, "Where did you get that book?" you could say like it helps the scene progress more if you offer more than that. If you say, "Oh my goodness, you're holding grandma's book from the cellar that we're not allowed to go in," or you know, something like that.
Yeah. So you like don't put it all on them to come up with something funny. You kind of like help it along.
Yeah. I mean, when you have an audience volunteer, that's a little different. You want to help them out a little more. It's called pimping them, actually. you might want to say like, "Oh, but you taught me that. Show me your dance again." Like that kind of a thing is fun to do with an audience volunteer. But when you're working with, you know, fellow improvisers in a scene, the idea is to not just put all the work on the other person, and asking questions often is like puts that work on them.
Sometimes I get the vibe when I watch it that the goal isn't always like when you're just with other improvisers practicing or at a workshop, is the goal always to be funny or is the goal just to see how far you can get kind of?
That is an interesting topic. There are different opinions, I think, about that, about what makes good improv. Some people do think it's about it being funny. And some people think more it's about really creating this whole new world with people on, you know, and really getting into it and letting the comedy just happen from the scene that you're creating. And I think there's some good thoughts to both. And the people that think it's all about being funny, they still don't go so far as to say like, yeah, say anything that's funny, even if it puts the whole, if it ruins everything for everyone else. Like, for example, in one of the books I read, they gave this example of someone that they got a huge laugh. They came out and they, or like there was a scene going on. And I think someone was like, treating this lady like she was his wife. And then she says something like, no, we're divorced. I can't, oh dang it, I'm messing it up. But she's to this big denial, but it was hilarious. Whatever it was so funny.
So she broke a rule?
But yeah, it was this denial that now put the rest of the players in this really hard position where it's like, how do we come back from that?
Uh-huh.
So even though it got a huge laugh, it's just, you know, you have to be careful and you have to be tactful about how you break rules. Because it can work to break rules. It just, I don't know. Improv is something that takes a long time, a really long time. So like that whole feeling you guys were talking about of like going to the show and being like, how in the world, this looks so stressful. I totally felt that too when I was going to shows at the beginning. But it slowly but surely, you just train your brain to adapt to the world of improv, so to speak.
It's like a game, right?
Kind of.
Like that you get better at, if it seems like.
Oh yeah, definitely. And so like the more you do it, the better, like there's you're always improving. Like there's always ways you can like learn to master it.
Stand for improvisation?
Improvisation.
Or improvement.
Ooh.
I like where you went there with that.
When Dallin and I watch the shows, like we've watched some where it's like the upper, I don't even know what you call them, like the upperclassmen.
Just like the weekend shows.
The weekend shows where the veterans are there.
They're so funny. And it's just like there's, Ashley and I tried to, maybe this is exactly what you were saying and I cut you off, but we tried to describe what the X factor is that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way that I could boil it down to is that they have zero inhibitions.
Yes.
Or they're just not afraid.
That's the goal.
Like they're living on the other side of fear where there's like nothing that they're afraid of. And it's like how you would act if you were with your sister or something.
Right.
Like they're just, there's like,
no. It's even like next level beyond that. Unless you have a really, really, really good relationship with your sister.
No, like you and Marissa or something, or like you and Chelsea. Like, it's just like,
it's just like, so they just like,
when they don't hesitate.
When
at all.
The guy came out and he was like wearing no shirt and he had some kind of like fur skirt on, he was the guy from
I was
Narnia.
Backstage.
What
yes
was he was Mr. Tumnus.
He was Mr. Tumnus. So funny. And it's just how he just lets all out and doesn't have anything holding
yeah.
him back.
Oh yeah.
So funny.
No, that is totally like the biggest thing that I've been learning of, like, oh, that's what gets you from like a good improviser to just like being
good
on the on the path to becoming great. Yeah.
Because there were like other people there and they were really good. And I could tell, like, especially this one girl, I could tell she was really witty and funny,
mm-hmm.
but she just, it seemed like her nerves would get to her sometimes.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
would like, she would stutter or like not get her words out the way she wanted to. Like she would jumble them up or just like, you could tell she was nervous and it, and like you could feel that vibe, even though she wasn't telling anyone she was nervous and she was up there like doing really well, but you could just
on.
Like tell she was nervous and it kind of put you on edge a little bit.
Yeah. We all put our tendencies are, of course, are just like to put pressure on ourselves to be good, like, and to be funny. And so that's something that, yeah, I am learning is that to really get to that place, you have to be okay with not being funny all the time. You have to like have confidence in yourself, even if your joke doesn't land. And that's something that is another, awesome principle about improv that is hard to apply, obviously, like, and for me to apply. But it's, we go aruga. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but it's something like that. It's where if you're doing a warm-up game, especially when we're doing warm-up games and we mess up, we just go Aruga, and it's supposed to stand for like, oh, we messed up, but it's in the past. We're not going to worry about it at all. We're just going to go forward. And that's something that they really focus on at the beginning of at the beginner's workshop for improv, is embracing failure and just not being afraid to fail. And in fact, trying to fail, like failing hard. And
cool.
But then, you know, it's an art, because then after you get past like kind of that phase of like, oh yeah, I've got to learn to just let free. Then there still is some, you know, there's some refinement. You do get a lot of feedback. You get a lot of helpful criticism that, you know, is about your performance in a way that's going to help you to make some changes so that you can become a better improviser. And so it's hard to let it get out of your head at that point too, of like, you know, all those thoughts and feelings of like, oh, this better be good, or oh, I just did something that wasn't good, and then letting it get in your head. But yeah, like you said, it's when people are just no inhibition and they're just going out there and being kind of carefree, that's when magic happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally noticed that. Carefree, no inhibitions, that's when magic happens. Mm-hmm. Quote of the podcast, right there.
It's a cool thing because it's very much the opposite of most performing art things, where it's one person standing out. It's very much a team sport. It seems like a very, like, you have to be very selfless.
Yes.
In that you give up your plan and your idea in a second if someone takes it a different way.
Yes. And one way that one person on a TED talk, I think, one time said, kind of along the lines of that principle, is try as a principle when you're doing improv, try to make the other people on stage with you look like they're the smartest people in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, that's also really a good life principle.
Yeah. This is good podcast rules too. We should write these down somewhere and frame them in our little podcast studio.
We just need to work on don't talk over the other person. That's our first goal. But that's probably an improv goal too. We're just working on that one.
Yes.
Still.
That is.
Is that another principle?
That is something that often will be like, that was a great scene, y'all, but you were talking over each other.
Just like one
person. Couldn't hear
time.
What was going on. Yeah. Huh. It's a listening. It goes with the principle of listening.
Yeah. So improv rules for life. You got,
there's
don't
even, there's
be
so
afraid
much more
to fail. What else have we talked about? Mm-hmm. Like good. Don't,
yes,
don't
and
expect others to carry your own weight, or like be of value rather than expect others to like just serve you or to make you look good.
Embrace mm-hmm. change.
Mm-hmm. Embrace change. Shoot, this is good. What else? What else has stuck out to you in your classes and improv and your experience?
There was another one I was just thinking of, and now it's leaving my brain.
That's okay.
That's okay. I think we're out of time anyways.
Oh, okay. Cool, Leo. Uh-huh.
This is fun, Todd. This probably won't be this won't be the last time you're on our podcast, hopefully.
Oh, we'll see. I'll probably listen back to this. I'll be like, why did you expose me to the internet? My voice sounds terrible. Blah, 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 blah.
No, no, no.
No, I gotta love myself.
Not afraid to fail.
Not afraid to
no
fail.
No inhibitions. Podcasting or on stage.
Nope. Oh, and I got a shout out to Comedy Sports. Y'all who are listening to this in other places outside of, so the Comedy Sports in Utah happens to be in Provo, but there's Comedy Sports all over the states, in a lot of big cities.
It's a fun date night.
Are they clean all over?
They
too?
Are. That's their thing. They
That's
are family
another
friendly.
Impressive thing about the comedy there, because mm-hmm. I feel like it's easier to make dirty jokes sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you watch Whose Line Is It Anyway? Those guys are freaking brilliant. Mm-hmm. But they, like, they always resort to, like, a dirty, easy, dirty joke every once in a while. It gets a quick, easy laugh from the audience. But I feel like it's harder to keep it clean than family friendly mm-hmm. all the time.
Let's put it out there, though, that we love Whose Line.
I yes. love it. I watch it forever. But every once in a while, it's just like, oh, nice. That's just a cheap joke. Like, that's just a cheap, dirty joke. Mm-hmm. Like, those are funny every once in a while. But, like, I feel like it's harder to be witty and clean consistently.
Preach.
Would
yeah,
you
I
agree.
Oh yeah. And I've heard lots of other improvisers agree as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It is harder to, so yeah, it's you know, you're getting people that are not just being lazy. And I mean, well, yeah, you'll see people that are being lazy in other ways at Comedy Sports. We're not perfect, but, no, for sure. That's, I agree. And so that's an awesome thing about Comedy Sports, is that it is family friendly from ages. We even let babies in to the Provo location. Oh, really? I don't know about everywhere else, but anyways, it's safe for age 3 or whatever to age 93.
I love what you just said.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much to our sponsors.
Thank you for Tatiana for being here with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Thank you to the sponsors. Yes, sorry, cut you off, Ash. I'm breaking all the improv rules. I just wanted to thank Tatiana first.
Okay.
Go on.
That's it.
Yes, and?
I don't know what to say now. I feel like we said it all.
Let's sing a song. Yes. This has been the Dashley Podcast. Welcome to the Dashley Podcast and goodbye.
We need you to record an intro for us because right now we have this song. We love that song a lot, but it's just not our podcast song. You know, Casey and Candace, they got Casey and Candace and Casey's podcast. They're doing couples therapy, You know, it's just really cool. And then Dak Shepherd, he has, he's an armchair expert. Mm-hmm. We need one that says,
what?
Big Little Life.
Big Something. Little.
Can you work on that? We commission you.
What if it's Broadway and a Big Little Life? Sure. How about that?
We need to.
That's definitely your guys' style.
All right. Thanks you guys for joining us. Thank you again for Tatiana for being here. And we will see you next time on Big Little Life. And this has just inspired me to have more guests on our podcast because this is fun. Also, they can do a lot of the talking. And I just like hearing other people talk. And it's so fun. Yeah. It's not always my own voice. I love hearing other people's perspectives and talking, and we're going to end the podcast.
What else? Thank you guys. Tell me more. This is also, how Dallin says goodbye to anyone.
We're getting a Traeger, and I'm learning how to
see you later. Also, did I tell you about this journal entry
YouTube
I wrote last week?
My new YouTube things that I watch. I just search how to cook different meats.
Wow.
Because we're getting a Traeger.
Oh, that's so cool.
Smoker.
Wait, like Chris Traeger?
We asked everybody on our vlog. I asked everybody what grills they have. And I mean, there's a lot of different grills out there, but we got raving comments about Traegers and how they will literally change my life. Got one. And it's coming soon, hopefully.
Did anyone say anything about the grills in their mouth?
No. But that's next. Getting a grill in my mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. See you guys.